again, everyone, and welcome back to the Dog Show Drive with Wayne and Will. I'm Wayne Kavanaugh.
And I'm upbeat Will Alexander.
Yes, you are. Peppy. Peppy. We like it.
I'm going to stay upbeat.
We're going to talk about a big show this past weekend in Palm Springs with over 3,200 entries. Also, IKC, St. Paul, and Talmadge, all three of those shows had over 1,000 dogs. IKC got a spectator gate we didn't expect, and we're thrilled for them. All that and more, but not one single television review right here on the Dog Show Drive.
I'm born to run down rocky cliffs. Give me grace, bury my sins. Shattered glass and black holes can't hold me back from where I need to go. Oh, oh, oh,
oh, oh, oh. Yellow hills could be California. Hey, what's up, buddy? Out on the West Coast.
Good morning, Wayne. I'm good out here. I'm on the West Coast. I'm in Snohomish, Washington.
I kind of like this East Coast. Well, I'm not even East. I just think I'm on the East Coast, Midwest, yeah. West Coast. We need an East Coast.
It's so funny because people in Canada say, oh, you're from down East. I'm not from down East. Down East is the Maritimes.
Yeah, that's really East. Yeah. Well, anyway, it's good to see you no matter where you are. Snohomish, did I say it right?
Yeah, Snohomish.
Not bad. It's a beautiful place, beautiful area, and I'm glad. And by the way, obviously, our thoughts are with all those people from the West Coast.
Certainly. What a rough week they had. We'll talk about it. I was at Palm Springs on the weekend, but I guess the storm hit Bill and Taffy's kennel, and Taffy showed me some pictures, and holy jumpins.
Just cars rushing down the streets. Yeah, they call it a... atmospheric river, and what it is, I'm sure you're dying to know this.
No, I am. I was curious.
It's what happens is condensation bunches up into what looks like a river in the sky. So it's this condensed meandering.
Is that where the Sharknadoes come from?
Pardon? Or Sharknado?
All those cheesy horror movies, Sharknado, Sharknado 1, Sharknado 2, Sharks in the Sky.
Well, these things condense all this moisture and then dump in a deluge. And after a drought, it's especially devastating. So, yeah, oh, man, we're not even seeing the end of it. It's just moving north from L.A. And
handlers had to drive that. They were all worried about it, and they're thinking of ways to get around, to get home. And
I don't know. Anyway, our thoughts are with you folks out there. And knowing dog people, if you're in an area that you can help other dog people, you will. That's one of the beautiful things.
And there, we have shows this weekend in Puyallup, and I send out a couple messages to my friends. Are you guys going to be in Puyallup? Oh, for sure. We'll be there.
They'll row the dogs and
can't hold us back.
Yeah, this is true. So how was it?
Palm Springs, if you've never been to Palm Springs, you need to go. It's unbelievable. It's held in Indio, in Palm Springs, and it's on a polo field. It's just perfect. It seems made up. It's so perfect. Yeah. You know, the grass is perfect. When you walk on it, it's so comfortable. Like, rings are huge. You have 3,000 plus dogs. It's sunny out. It's beautiful. It's dog show heaven.
Big white tents.
Oh, it's just beautiful. And you can't walk 10 feet without seeing a ring full of dogs. The breeds are like, I sat and watched. I would say there was at least 40 in each breed that I watched. You know, it's just so refreshing. And then everybody's really positive. They're all helping each other. Everybody, I think maybe because the atmosphere makes everybody more positive. I don't know, but it was a fun time. And how they put on something like that, it just seems so immense, you know.
Well, 3,276 or something like that, over 3,200 dogs. That's a dog show.
Well, I think the hound specialty the first day was 500 or 600 dogs, the hound specialty.
You know? We have all breeds that can't hit that anymore.
Oh.
But, you know, it was a particularly good week for dog shows. There was three shows are over 1,000. And then, of course, Palm Springs being the big guy at 3,200. But you know, I hope we're getting back on track and getting things done. The thing about Palm Springs, and the feed was great. You know, you get to watch AKC TV is not great. We all know what it is. It's only a couple cameras. But boy, is it better than nothing, right? Yeah. And they do a good job for what they have. And it's so much fun, you know, to sit. I sat every night and watched it. It was really fun to watch. Really fun to watch.
Oh, I enjoy it. It's, and there, you don't even know they're there when you're, as I was showing there. The only thing I did, and everybody talked about it in the ring too, is if you watch the group ring on the far side where the judges sit, that shadow, because the group's goes to the, it's dark out. It's dark and cold in the desert at night. Yeah. So the shadow, we'd all have to set up on the other side of the shadow trying to stay in the light, and because they couldn't see us otherwise. So
yeah, and I noticed some dogs, and certainly in breeds that you would expect it from, just because of their peripheral vision, didn't want to go under that dark spot.
Right.
Something like, I don't want to go in there. That's, and to them, that's a black hole where you can fall to the north.
For sure, because they've got somewhat spotlights following them, and all of a sudden it's black, right?
Yes. Yeah. Is it under the lights, like a baseball field lights kind of thing?
Yeah, it's that idea. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. I can't believe I've never been. I really want
to. You have to come. You have to come next year. We'll all go together, bring Cheryl. We'll have a great time.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds like fun. And by the way, I saw a picture of our dear, wonderful, beautiful friend, Bruce Schultz, being there.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that made my week.
He came driving through the parking area, and I was set up with a friend of mine, Stuart. And he came driving by, and I saw him, and I pointed at him, and he turned, and he looked at me, and he stopped and pointed back at me.
Oh, that's great.
He stopped and talked for a while, and Stuart McGraw. So I should say their full name now, shouldn't I? I was set up with Stuart McGraw and Justine Myers.
So good to see those. We have friends in the sport for 50, 60 years, Will.
I'm not 60 years old yet. Wait, you can't say that to me.
Before you were born, these people.
I didn't have friends before. That's how
famous you are. But really, what an extraordinary thing to be able to have a show like that on the West Coast or any coast. But
it's an event. It truly is an event. You know?
That's just an enormous number of dogs in one place. For these days, I mean, any days.
But the thing about Palm Springs, it consistently stays between 3,000 and 4,000 dogs every year. Yeah. Like it's an event, you know?
Yeah, it's magical. It's just, it looks so, Diane Hahn did such a beautiful job with just beauty shots of the grass and the tents.
There's got to be more than one Diane Hahn. Just when I saw her everywhere. Oh, there she is.
She is an Energizer Bunny. There's no doubt. She catches it all. You know, she catches
for sure.
Her mind's going.
I'll get a picture. I'm like, I didn't even see you. Where were you?
She gets those shots that you don't even, you know, she knows which dogs to go see.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, your puppy didn't have any record. It's first time in the ring, right?
Yeah.
She knew to go take pictures of her. You know, she's just got an eye.
She sure does, and she catches them. She'll catch. What I like is when she catches the intimate moments, because I don't know where she's hiding, but you'll see a handler going down and talking in the face of their dog or something, and Diane catches it. You know,
that's how she got started. She took a picture. She told me the story. I think it was Golden Retriever, something reacting to winning, and that reaction shot is what got her going, and that's still where I think her real art lies, in those candid action shots when you don't think she's watching.
Right.
Yeah, good stuff. But you know, to see entries like that does give you hope. And the specialties, the hound show. There was over 500 in the hound show, weren't there?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's enormous. I said, we don't have all breeds that can hit that. So you know, when you get those entries, you not only get the dogs, you get the people, and you have a week. To sit and talk and learn and observe and just see. And that's so important. We miss those opportunities to go be able to, and you can watch, right? It's not crazy.
Yeah. I'd pull up a chair and we'd sit and watch a breed.
How nice.
It was a great time.
Next year, young William, next year.
I really think we should plan that.
Yeah.
On the road again over a dog show drive, you know.
There you go. Yeah, the dog. We call it the dog show drive. We should drive there and
We're letting the pilot drive.
We could talk the entire time and do a 3-day podcast. Yeah, a lot of people listen to that. Not even your mother would listen to that
one. Oh, she's still listening. She'd be worried we didn't have our seatbelts on. I always have this thing that Siri should be my mother's voice, or my GPS voice should be my mother. So when I'm driving along, I'll be like, don't go so fast. Slow down. Put your seatbelt on. Are your glasses on? Mother, I'm 58 years old.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't mean you're smart.
Yeah. She's probably right in all counts. That's the hard part. Anyway, one quick email that I don't want to forget it. Jody Strait, and this is from a couple weeks ago, said the subject of her email was positives. And she's right. We're talking about Orlando, and we were on about sportsmanship, and it is an issue. But she wanted to make it clear, a great thing happened to her. People taking care of dogs and covering dogs and showing dogs she couldn't and all this. And we do want to mention those things because, like I said about the storm and dog people helping dog people, we can't forget all the great things that happened and the subtle things, people helping each other. It happens all the time. There is that family feeling of help.
Oh, there's no question. And people understand that. Like, even as I was sitting at ringside watching one of the setter breeds, and I already mentioned my friend Stuart. I was set up with Stuart. Stuart and Justine were so great to me all weekend long. Anyway, but I'm like, well, where's Stuart with his class? Well, there was friends everywhere. They were so busy that morning. In fact, there were five different handlers that were helping Stuart and Justine.
That's something. That's so cool. Yeah. That's what you got to love. And I do think, well, I shouldn't say that. I was going to say that generation seems to be helped more, but that's not true because Bob and Jane and Teddy and everybody, we all just help each other.
We just notice it more now because we were running around back then.
We were the ones running around covering people's dogs. Yeah, that's for sure. God, I showed some interesting dogs back in the day.
I always liked it when they said, you're going in for best winners. Don't touch it.
Yeah. Or if you're going to best winners, murder it.
Yeah, don't touch it. Don't try to set him up. Don't do anything. Just make sure he doesn't get loose. Okay.
Remember Charlie Meyer?
Oh, yeah.
Great old dog guy. I'd gone winner's dog and winner's bitch. And I really wanted the bitch to win. It was amazing. She needed it. So, Janie, I think, showed the bitch because that made sense under Charlie Meyer. And I showed the dog and I did everything, tail straight up like this. I mean, I made him look like it was awful. It was intentional. It was awful. And he went up to me and said, nice try. You're best of winners. Yeah. Couldn't get away with it with some of them. I was young and stupid.
I had one judge say to me, he didn't look like that when I gave him winner's dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I know what he looks like. It's back here.
I do remember him. Yes, indeed. Well, I'm great. Yeah, glad you had a great time out there, Will. And, you know, those are the kind of events we need. We need to have those big, beautiful events that we can all celebrate and come around and collectively enjoy the dogs. Yeah.
I know we can't have them every weekend. It's just not possible. But they need to be there. They need to be on the schedule.
We need our gyms. And there were other shows that weekend in Talmadge, Ohio. I think it was there were three shows between 1,200 and 1,400 dogs, all within 5 hours of each other. So you had Talmadge, you had Schaumburg, and you had St. Paul, Minnesota. So all 5-6 hours. And they all drew over 1,000 dogs.
Yeah.
International drew 14. Talmadge drew like 13 and St. Paul 12, but something like that. But they were all between.
And that was the first international show, wasn't it?
There was one last year. Yeah. But was the first one that they, you know, did
the pictures look good. It was attended well and it was crowds. And
The thing that it looked phenomenal. They did a beautiful job and they did a great job promoting it too. I just didn't think they could get a spectator, Kate. And I could not be any happier to be wrong. They got a good, strong spectator gate.
Yeah, no,
that speaks well. Yeah, they're in the right spot for spectators. Schaumburg's not in the city. It's in the burbs where the families live and the people live. It's a great demographic for that. And I'm so glad that they got the spectators I didn't think they could get. I think they had 1,200 spectators on Friday and way more than that on Saturday and Sunday. So, yeah, I hope that works for them. We sure would like to see that international take off. And more important, we'd just like to see spectators at shows again.
Yeah, because that's how we gain certain, like, you think back, I think even my parents, we started off as spectators. We went to a dog show, you know.
A lot of people do. And, you know, sell 1,400 dogs, not the biggest dog show compared to Palm Springs. But if you bring in 10,000 spectators, 5,000 spectators, those are all, oh, I saw 2 years ago, maybe a year ago, I was judging in Springfield, Illinois, which is maybe an hour and a half train ride for or more from Chicago. And there's a young man standing at ringside, clearly an intense spectator by himself, jeans, backpack, young guy. And he was really watching and there was nobody with him. So I introduced myself to him and his name was Amit. And he just couldn't be any, I think he was a medical student at Northwestern or something like that. Anyway, he took the train all the way down to Springfield to go to a dog show by himself. And it's a long story. He ends up with a Newfoundland. I just introduced him to people. He did it on his own. He was at International showing his Newfoundland.
Oh, excellent.
And I was so happy to see that this guy, I knew he'd get one. I knew he'd stick with it. He'd been to some puppy shows and things. And he went to his point show and he was in there showing his own dog, a little necktie and the whole thing. And there's a case of a spectator getting into the sport. Yep. Maybe because I wasn't the only one to stop and talk to this kid after I did, other people did. And let's hope that that kind of thing continues because that's what we need to make the world go around. I remember taking my Irish friends to a dog show in Indiana, probably a 1,500 dog show back then, probably 10 years ago. And we got there and they said, "Where are the people?" And I said, "Oh, they're in their Renegades." "Where are the dogs?" "In the Renegades, in the RVs."
Yeah.
"They'll all come out when it's time for their dogs to be judged, and then they'll go back to the Renegades."
So, I'll tell you this story. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, so how nice to see spectators at ringside. It'll pay $25 to go to a dog show. So pretty good.
But if it wasn't for, like, the first time I met our friend Eddie Zook, I was at a dog show in Ottawa, Ontario. And I knew of Eddie because he was showing the Chevy dog and I'd seen pictures in the old magazines back then. But I didn't know him. So I'm at the show and I see this young man sitting at ringside watching and I walked up and I went, as my dog went by him, I think I said, "Company car." And he looked up and that's how we met. Well, he was in Ottawa doing something for school or work and he took the bus to the dog show.
Oh, that's great.
And that's how we first met. This is like mid 80s anyway, or whenever he was showing Chevy. So,
oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah, I don't know if I ever told you the story. NBC did it an AKC event. It was an invitational sort of knockoff. It was very different from a regular dog show. And by the way, we packed in the spectators and it was in Baltimore, downtown, right next to the new Camden Yards. I think it was a grand opening. It was the grand opening of the baseball field as well. And NBC did a bang up job. But actually Kenny Albert, the hockey announcer, mm-hmm. he and I did the announcement.
Oh, nice.
It was pretty interesting. My first time meeting him, my last time working with him. Hang on. Yes, dear.
I'm going to Glamorama.
So it's Eddie Albert and I. Eddie Albert, Jesus.
I'm going to get some pancakes with that.
Oh, that's beautiful. Anyway,
that's because we were talking about Eddie, and then
there you go. And I put Mara together
and it's morning, so pancakes. Let me do a pancake commercial at some point. I
don't coffee. Know. We need coffee.
Anyway, I'm on TV. I'm not a doctor. I play one on TV. That was Marcus Welby. So
it's the first time we're working together. And Kenny wasn't all that experienced. This has got to be. Well, it was Judy. So how long is that? Judy the Beagle owned by Eddie Zucker. Shown by
That'd be like 92, 93-ish. Yeah.
That's a while ago, right? So Kenny hadn't really, been around yet a while. And working with him was great. He sounded just like his father then. And as soon as he spoke, I just turned and went, oh, my God, you sound just like your Marv Albert being his dad. Anyway, this was a knockoff event it might have been five judges, could have been three. But this is why this doesn't work, ladies and gentlemen. This is why this doesn't work. Judy had the most first places. She had, I think, all of them except one, and that person gave her last.
And so dropped her score right down.
The dog that went second but never won one was best in show. And it was infuriating because I wanted Judy and my buddy Eddie to win, and they should have too. But those multi-group judges things, everything that's a great idea, not always. Not always.
Judy impacted me when I was I always liked all the dogs, Chevy. And so I already was already short for Mr. Gear. But when I saw Judy, I was like, no, that's what I want. I tried so hard. And when I first saw P, I called Eddie and said, I think I found a 15-inch Judy.
Yeah.
He's like, no.
Yeah, she was beautiful.
She was beautiful.
That was a fun show. And you've got to get creative to have those things happen. And international, that's Scott File and Erica Wyatt and a bunch of others. Jerry Klein was very helpful. Made it an event that people wanted to come to. And it was creative. They did a gala for whatever and this and that. And
no, it looked, like it looked wonderful on the post that I saw. So
Yeah, I certainly had my doubts on the spectator thing. And I was thrilled that they got one. It was a strong one. So all's well there. And St. Paul and Talmadge had a similar entry. And that, like I said, if you go going west to east, it would be St. Paul, Chicago, well, Schaumburg, and Talmadge, Ohio, 5-5-5, maybe 6-5, something like that.
They used to always do Talmadge.
Then they all drew over 1,000 dogs. And not much over, but over. And then you had Palm Springs the same weekend at 3,200. So I haven't done the math for all the shows that weekend, but that's a pretty good weekend.
Yeah.
And my guess is that Palm Beach will be the outlier and will bring the average way up so you'd have to
Palm Springs.
Yeah. But I'll bet we're way over the 650 normal average.
Oh, so, no question. Yeah, you are for sure.
Yeah. So a good weekend for dogs in the middle of January, no less. So
Talmadge was always my first show of the year. Always.
Really?
Huh. Drive to Talmadge.
Interesting. I thought Novi was.
Novi's afterwards. Yeah.
It was after?
Yeah. Talmadge was always because I always got snowed in around the Erie area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And similar with Novi. Do you know what Novi stands for, Will? You probably don't even know this.
No.
It was the number 9, Novi. That would be the number 11. No, number 6. What's 5 and 1? 6. The Latin numeral, VI.
Oh.
And it was the stop on the train.
Oh, really?
The Northern 6 or something.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
How do you know that one?
Well, I'm full of useless information. I have a liberal arts background. So crossword puzzles, useless information. That's me. I'm your guy.
So next time I'm going to Novi, he says, you go to Novi, I'm going to number 6.
That's right. Number 6.
Going to number 6.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There you have it. All that and more right here. Anyway, big shows, big spectators, big full of bowl fields, all good for purebred dogs. Seeing the AKC show on ABC, seeing the national dog show in Philadelphia on TV, watching these the stream from Palm Springs was great. I'm not sure that people who don't know about dog shows watch it, but at least it gives you energy.
Yeah, and it gives, like I'll tell you, everybody in my part of the world, Ontario, they all were watching. Because I get messages, oh, where's that giant statue? Oh, who's this? Oh, who's that? Like, it's I think it's important, you know, because we don't get to see those dogs.
Right. Down. Yeah, you know, the thing back when I was working in television a lot, we did quite a few dog shows a year, quite a few for Animal Planet, Discovery, NBC Sports, whoever I was working for, ESPN. We'd do 6 or 7 or 8 a year. And that was, when I look back on it, that was too much. It was too much because it wasn't special. But more important, people would say to me, hey, I saw you last night at the whatever show. And I'd say, where? I don't know. You sure it was last night? Because I shot that show a year ago. And it's sort of all blended together. So doing these special ones, like AKC's show in Orlando, obviously the Garden, Philadelphia, those gems, we need a West Coast one like that too. Palm Springs would be, I don't know how you shoot Palm Springs. With the shadows and stuff, that'd be tough. But there's got to be some.
But that would be the event to cover. I really would think so.
Or Patty Strand shows in the Rose City cluster in Portland.
Well, I've never been to those shows, but I've only been to my second Palm Springs, and I'm overwhelmed. I just think it's an amazing event. So
we did shoot Rose City. Ron Reagan and I co-hosted it with the Miss America.
Well.
And I don't know if that's on anymore, but that was it an Animal Planet show? I think so. Yeah, because Ron and I only worked together for Animal Planet. So it had to be. But you need 4 or 5. You don't need 10. Maybe 4 would be best. And we definitely need a West Coast. We've got the East Coast twice. And we got the East Coast 3 times, don't we? Philadelphia, Florida, New York.
Maybe we put a team together. We get Doc to get his camera, and we just go do it ourselves.
There you go. What do they call those things you put on your head?
GoPros, yeah.
We could GoPro.
I'll wear one of those.
Yeah. That's the one. And they could hear you think out loud, and it would all be audio.
Yeah.
All be audio.
That'd be cool.
By the way, we were reminded recently that for some reason, people want to watch the podcast. So I think we talked about this last year, but hopefully this year we'll get to do YouTube versions of this too. We'll have to change our backgrounds because it's not what you're thinking right now. It's not pretty.
No,
I don't have pajamas.
Sunshine, palm trees, people at the beach.
That's right. Yeah.
I'll be right there.
And here we have reindeer, and there goes Santa Claus. I guess he's going home. I'm going to have to clean up my office before we get that far. Anyway,
good thing I have no hair, though. Like, I don't have to wear a hat because it just looks like it's been drawn on. Look at
I thought it was sprayed on. But you do have the Amish thing.
Little marker.
Here we go, Will.
Did I see you on Being Amish on TV with the little beard you got going on there?
Yeah. You don't like that look? I'm growing it out.
Oh, I like it.
I'm growing it out. I'm always going to talk like Sean Connery. Then I'm always going to say.
You going ZZ Top long? You're going to keep letting it run?
No, I'm going to stick around. Tim James. I like Sean Connery.
Tim James, he's the superintendent. Tim James. He might have the biggest beard I've ever seen. Sam McDonald just is calling me now.
Oh
goodness, it's phone time.
We should put Sam on live. But
wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah,
he'd want permission, I'm sure. But and Doug Belter called in. I don't know. It's everyone's thinking dogs right now. Well,
yeah,
they are.
I've had a few messages too, and I always say podcast. And they're all and they want to go listen to it right away. Well, it's not live.
We're not even alive. Never mind. So there you have. I wanted to mention a company, and we get nothing from this company. They don't even know we know who they are. But Brody bought a new SUV. And he wanted crates that fit it. And I remember at Crufts 30 years ago, 20 years ago, and still today, there's a company that has an Opel or a Vauxhall, whatever they have over there. And they have these crates that are slanted, that are bespoke crates that fit exactly into that car.
Yeah.
So, you get the tilt of the back window. You got the way the sides go in now. Well, there's a company in Minnesota. And it is called TNC Crates. TNC Crates. And they're not even they're not much more than any of the premium crates, and they make them side by side for, it's two doors and you could put two dogs in there together, or two crates they clip together so they look like one, but they're beautiful. What I really like about them is the top's vented and they're all, you know, metal from these metalworking guys. They're powder coated. They're just beautiful.
They come in maple leaf blue.
You can get a lot of colors. You can even have maple leaf blue with white doors. Mm-hmm. You can pick your door colors and your crate colors, and there's lots of them. I think it's, if you're driving around in an SUV and they're all, remember the old Volvo wagons were square. Yeah. The old Highlanders were square. Now everything is got super slant to the back roof and the sides go in. It's aerodynamics. I get that. But it makes a great issue. This fills up every inch of that space. With
what's the company's name again?
TNC. Check it out.
TNC.
Yeah, I think you'll like them. They're beautiful. I think Brody's going to order two for his new car. So
nice.
Yeah, because, you know, Brody needs his bespoke car and bespoke crates for his one dog.
Of course he does.
His heart. He learned all the wrong things from me. Anyway, bless his heart. He's doing good. He's really working on getting her ready for the year to come. What else is new in the world of dogs, Will? How about we answer this question from a viewer? Sure. I know I have it here. It's more of an interview question for you, I guess. Are rankings important to you?
To me. So are rankings important to me? Well, you know what? I think more so when I was a handler. I think because it showed you were doing your job, I think. You were hired to do something. But now I think about it, it's funny because I think we've spoken about this before, where certain dogs will be number one, but a lot of times people will remember number two or three because they made more of an impact on them. Yeah. So I think it's more of the dog themselves than the rank themselves. Like people say, oh, who was top dog in 1986? Well, I don't remember. But you can bring up dogs from 86 that are stamped in your memory bank.
Who was number one last year?
Yeah.
You know. They don't.
Kenny Murray would know. He knows everything.
Pardon me?
Kenny Murray would know. He knows everything.
Of course. That's absolutely true. I can tell you that rankings matter to me when an exhibitor tells me the dog's ranking after I give it a ribbon or don't give it a ribbon. That matters to me, where I like to throw them out of the ring with their dog and rank them right over the gate.
I was judging. I won't say what breed it was, but after I was all done, though, an exhibitor stopped me and said, well, what was your determining decision in winners, whatever class, with these two? And I said, well, the other one was a little, you know, whatever, large for me, a nice, pretty type, but the other one was more my size. Well, one was Westminster quality, one wasn't. So my response was, I guess that depends who's judging Westminster.
You should have said, have you ever won Best in Show Westminster? Because I have. Anyway, it doesn't, they don't matter to me, but I can definitely see that we need backers that have the resources to hire a handler to get a ranked dog, to have dogs in the ring. If you can't afford to show them, they're not going to get shown. We don't have any dog shows, right? I don't love it. That's just the way it is. And they want results. They want measurable results. So I think it's who you are and when in your life, right? Oh. I mean, I remember the first time I had the number one pointer, I was thrilled. And the first time I had top 10 supporting dog, I was thrilled. And now I laugh at that going, man, I doesn't matter to me.
Well, now you think, well, that dog's been to a lot of shows, you know. But
well, that's exactly. Now it is a matter of, back when there was a finite number of dog shows, I think rankings actually meant more.
Well, I remember when Garrett Lambert was showing Sunshine Man, Fantail Sunshine Man.
Yeah, English Setter.
He was, at one year, he was number one English Setter in America and number one sporting dog in Canada. And he had done it like 40 shows in America, 40 shows in Canada. And he achieved those. That now that's impressive.
That's really impressive. Yeah. But really, when you go to 250, 300 shows a year, you know, and they're all small shows, you're likely to rack up a bunch of wins. So no, to me, they don't matter at this point in my life. But I can see.
Oh, it's definitely an achievement, because it's an achievement to become number one. You've worked your butt off that year to be number one.
Yeah, and people like them.
Oh, for sure. But it's always fun when you see a dog that came out for like half the time and just catches up to everybody because they're so good. You know, it's
yeah. Throw that into your top 10 questions in a minute and see if they can answer that one.
But you like rankings?
Time's up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Idea. Let me write that down.
But rankings, you know, and they're always, I think they're more fun than anything for some people. I don't know how much importance they hold, but they are a goal and they are fun. You want your football team to be number one. You want your baseball right. team.
But it was fun. We were showing Pete, and for motivation before the show, Eddie would always send me a picture of a bag of Quaker Oats.
Yeah.
And that was the thing. Quaker Oats wasn't even happening then, but he would always send me a picture of it.
Now, for those who don't know what we're talking about, Quaker Oats, I don't know if they don't call it that anymore, do they?
No, they don't.
But we do. Quaker Oats was always the award for the number one hound, number one sporting dog, number one whatever.
Most group wins for a sporting dog, yeah. Most group wins for a hound dog, most group wins.
And it was, it was with Miss P and the Bloodhound. It was one or two, a difference yep. of one or two, maybe one that we beat her by. Not that it meant anything. It was a great Bloodhound and a great Beagle, but it was fun. And that incentive, the bag of Quaker Oats, I can just see Eddie doing that.
Oh, that's yeah. Cool. Well, because when we were kids, like when you talk to George or Gene, and George Olson or Gene Blake, they'll tell you, remember when we ran for Quaker Oats, man? And like, oh, yeah, those stories. Yeah. And the Quaker Oats Award was something we all strive for. So yeah. When I started getting pictures of bags of Quaker Oats, it was hilarious. And it did pump me up. I wanted it.
What do we have now? I've got one. Number one hound. I don't know.
The Winky.
Yeah, we call them Winkies, but who sponsors them now?
It was Dogs in Review. I don't know who does it now. I don't know.
It was Kennel Review for a while.
Yeah.
And Dogs in Review. Who knows? It's the Quaker Oats, damn it.
That's the thing, right? We all think it's Quaker Oats.
We're just going to call it that. Speaking of Gene Blake, I had a great time with him down in Orlando, just talking dogs. I could talk dogs with him.
Oh, God, yeah. He's the best.
And it was Jimmy Moses and Gene and I, and that together was, and Ken. Yeah, that's that kind of moment.
I got to know Gene because when I was working for Bobby Stebbins, whenever we had a break, that I had a break from being the assistant, he'd look at the schedule and say, well, okay, I want you to go watch Gene Blake show a Saluki. Come on back.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. How good of Bobby to have done that too. You know, smart stuff. But you know, we're never going to have a world without, I don't see us having a world without rankings and things, but
no, it's just,
they're fun.
Everything's ego-based and it depends on the ranks, right?
So. Yeah. They're fun. And I was listening to a podcast yesterday about the novelty of finding out what your dog is, right? Sort of the same thing. You know, you send in to whoever you send in to, and they tell you your dog is half Beagle, half Shih Tzu, half Mastiff, whatever. And people do it for the novelty. The problem with that, just like the novelty of being ranked number one or whatever, or number seven, I saw an ad today for a dog who was number 19 in his breed. I did. And it was a breed that I'm not even sure there's 19 of them. So, but people like that, right? It's the novelty. I really did. People like that. They enjoy it. So why not? And the same thing with these DNA tests. They enjoy it. It's a novelty.
Yeah. The problem with that for people, the ancestry DNA thing, find out, you know, related to Napoleon.
But let me tell you, folks. There's been a big scientific paper. I'll do my research next week to give you more details, but it was done in Massachusetts at a university. I forget the lady's name. I forget the researcher. But I heard a podcast about it yesterday, which reminded me, it's an older podcast because it was in the New York Times maybe 6 months ago. But the premise was that they took 103,000 million dogs in looking at the genomes of all these dogs, they determined that the breed and behavior has nothing to do with the genome. Is that not a crock of shit, Will? I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's...
It all dogs' behavior is basically the same. They don't have any... Come on.
No. My gosh, you can tell. I can tell Irish Setter stories, Bouvier stories, Beagle stories, and they're... You know the difference.
We definitely know that. And I'm not mocking the science because they did it all the right way. They didn't have dog people involved. They had experts, serious experts. They weren't dog people.
They didn't call us in the dog show drive and ask our opinion. Yeah.
I'm telling you, that would not have been a bad input because we could have really, I'm not sure they would have accepted it, but we would have been a good yin and yang. We would have been able to balance some of the, beagles do bark. And try getting your Saluki to fetch a duck. And there are behavioral tendencies for each breed. Now, maybe she bailed herself out on the podcast yesterday by saying, we can't find it in the genes. Okay, well, then you haven't looked hard enough. But maybe what they're saying, that's not how they wrote the paper. But a way out of that is saying, well, we meant that behavior is inherited. We just don't know how. They should have just said that. Of course, they wouldn't have had a paper if they said that. Right. They wouldn't have gotten a lead story in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, and the Chicago Tribune. They wouldn't have gotten the Miami Herald. All of these papers led with this story about how purebred dogs are any different from each other. Oh, man. Can you imagine? We know how to approach dogs. We're judging them based on their breed.
That's right.
Right? There's going to be a big difference when you walk up to certain breeds, how you approach them. Profound differences. So this takes me back to when I was at a registry and a company, DNA company came in and pitched to me the idea of breed identification. They were very excited. They wanted us to be able to make this available. And they wanted they hired me as a brief consulting one-time thing. And they showed me all the, I may have mentioned this a couple years ago in here, but they showed me their data and how they can tell with an 87% certainty if it's a purebred golden retriever or not. And I said, no, you can't. So what do you mean? Where'd you get your samples? Ah, no fools are we. We went to the National, the Golden Retriever National. There's lots of them there and they come from all over the country. And I said, yeah, and they're all sired by the same dog or by the same family of dogs. You're leaving out the field trial golden retrievers, anything that's been imported that wasn't related to these. You're just leaving out dogs from all over the world. You'd have to go over the world and you'd have to get all the field trial and pet stuff as well as the show stuff. And then you can tell me you've sampled golden retrievers. You have not sampled them. In our world, in your mind, in my mind, Will, that's the only golden retrievers that exist, right? The ones we see at shows. That's right. Not it. So if you're sending in your cockapoo's DNA to think it's going to tell you what it is, I'd say nay, nay. Have fun. A novelty like rankings, but like rankings, they don't mean much to me. So there you have it. There you have it. Young William.
Yes.
It looked to me like the sport in California by watching on TV is quite different than it is on the East Coast or in Canada. What do you think, though? Is it just the weather and the pace, or is it the dogs themselves, the styles, not type, the styles of dogs, the styles of judging? What do you think makes that difference? Because I feel it, and I can't define it.
Yeah, that's a hard question, because it's always been that way, too. There is a definite difference. You can always tell. In my vocation, you can always tell a Western handler compared to an Eastern handler. I think it's... I don't know where to put how I put my finger on that though, Wayne. I don't have an answer.
Yeah, it's so nuanced that it's hard. But there is a difference, right?
No, there is definitely a difference. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe presentation.
It's got to be the weather. It's got to be the weather and how we do things, how we have to do things because of our definite changes in the weather compared to theirs. I don't know.
Well, you know,
you look at coats. Okay, if you go to, let's go with a Beagle coat. Like I'm in Snohomish, Washington, which is a very it's a moisture filled air and it's a chilly air.
It's damp and cold there, Will.
Yeah. The Beagles have big, thick, fat tails, big, thick coats. Like it's, and you go to Ontario in the summer, unless you stay on top of that Beagle, you're never having that coat. You're not. You know, it's coming out because they've had the winter and then the spring and then the summer comes and they goodbye.
That could be
because you see a lot of that in different breeds, the conditioning, like. And we try to emulate environmental conditions in our Eastern shows because, let's face it, we're inside and it's drier heat. And some dogs just can't deal with their skin-wise, coat-wise.
I think that's a really strong point.
Yeah.
And also, a lot of those dog shows are outside, right? On these beautiful polo fields or grassy areas. And there's a sense of peace and...
And they get conditioned to certain things. Like you take a Eastern dog that's been showing inside all winter long and bring him to Palm Springs, he gets tired pretty fast.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's got to be. I know when I lived in Florida and I woke up and it was sunny every day, I was a whole hell of a lot happier than I wake up in Michigan and it's gray and snowy every day. You know, it just gives you a different, puts you in a different mindset as well. But yeah, there's a difference for sure. And coats, I mean, they do take them tighter in sporting dogs. And yeah, I think that's a good point, Will. And presentation too. I saw a guy, I'm not going to pick on this guy. Yeah, I am. It's not going to tell you who it is. It was a dog who was competitive in the groups. This guy never stopped staring at the judge, even when he was moving his dog.
I love that.
I wanted to just go over and, I mean, it just, I would have just stopped and said, stop staring at me. I would like to see your dog, please. I know you're here. In fact, I moved you so I could watch you. I don't want to watch you. I want to watch your dog. So stop staring at me and leaning over and making, and then the big spread leg at the new thing, right? You got a little dog on a table and you got 1 foot here and 1 foot 15 feet behind and you're trying to bow and arrow it off the table. Come on, knock it off, you whippersnappers.
Well, that's interesting because I was just thinking about what you were saying. And if terriers are a good example of East Coast, West Coast, like all the terrier guys and women are extremely talented. The dogs are put down to a T. But think about it. Think about back when Ricky started, how much he went, his became not over the top. But they were fancier, tidier, and where we had the good old-fashioned terrier trims down here, and you go to California, and then every dog was done up, so it was like a statue, you know? Mm. And so I think it depends on the individuals in the area that are prominent that sometimes set the pattern to stick with that for generations, because you think about it, you went from Ricky to Woody to Gabe, those guys all, you know,
you're right.
Well, produce those, and it's not that it's better; it's just different. Like because you look at George and Pete and those boys, and the other dogs are all put down perfectly. It's just a different style from maybe it's the Hollywood atmosphere. I don't know, man.
I think you hit. I think that's a thing. I do. I think things are more trendy in California. A style and what you wear and what you drive is more important than it is in the Midwest, for sure. And maybe that those just surrounding styles and environmental styles have something to do with that. And you will get more fancier and a little more glamorous, I guess, right? The little more Hollywood impact than you would in Minnesota. That's interesting. I remember when I moved to Florida, this is 40 years ago, and Steve Herman was there. We used to be able to tell by what the judges were wearing who was going to win. Bolo tie. Sound down and back, really nice outfit, tidy, pretty shoes, dog more tight. you know, your where you come from, your style, your sense of fashion is definitely going to be imprinted in the dogs you present. There's no doubt in my mind about that. And maybe that's why the West Coast dogs could never come east and win back in the day. They would just look, they just looked out of place.
Yeah.
I'm talking about 30, 40 years ago.
They, California, and I think it still sticks like that.
Except for when you get to shows like the what we used to call the five-star shows, you know, Cobo Hall, Louisville, right. Palm Springs. I think those become almost international events where that doesn't matter who's there. Who's there? They become, it becomes a competitive dog show because everybody knows they're all there and they're there for the same reason to exhibit their dogs in this event. And well, IKC was like that as well. Like,
and the far circuit a little bit. People came
from, because that was back then, that was the starting point. So everybody went there. You know, everybody went to the Florida circuit and it was great. Like, I remember going and watching Wires and watching Clay and Pete battle for Wires for the whole circuit. It was just, it was fun.
It was fun. But yeah, those style. It, and now, of course, I think it's in general even more international, where I guess because we have more transportation and also people have no problem throwing a dog on a plane and flying it from New Jersey, from California to win something. Yeah. That's something that was never done unless it was a big specialty or a big show. But now we're running for number one in the rankings. And, you know, we have to pick your judges, and especially October. All of a sudden, he gets turned up. You only have a few months to go. You got to pick your judges, pick your spots, and avoid people.
You fall into it, though, but you think back on the campaigns of, like, I always think back on Mark and Robert's campaign, Mark Threfel and Condor, and he never left his truck.
No, and that's the way it was done. I mean, when I worked for Foresights, we went to the same shows every year, and none of them were far. And they were all Saturday and Sunday. You know, we did the fly circuit, and that was about it.
And that was about it. You think that Kennel Club hates being called this fly circuit?
I'll bet they do.
I wonder who coined it, the fly circuit, but it stuck.
The flies did, damn it.
Well, yeah.
They were like a Hitchcock movie. But you could have this, it could be worse. It could be the stink bug circuit. So and we had plenty of those in Virginia.
I was just telling that story the other day. And we were at Aldi for the Beagle National. It was that, I forget what year, it was a rainy, wet year. And there was a lot of stink bugs there that year. My truck was full of them. Yeah. And I remember I'd be 3 years later, I'd just find a stink bug that just was resilient to Canadian cold, surviving in the winter prize.
Hey, we have them. We had them when we built this house. I don't know if it stirred something up or just was the season. And it was a battle. And that was in the summer. And now here we are in Michigan, January. And once a month, Cheryl will go, what's that climbing up the wall?
They're resilient. They do not die.
Things are awful.
Like anyway. Bad luggage.
Bad luggage. You smuggle them back into Canada. That's what, if they're going to check for stuff, look for your whatever you got in your trucks or your vans, your dog papers and your vaccines. They ought to be looking for stink bugs and keep those things.
Stop them right there at the border. Get those stink bugs out of here.
Get them out of here, you bums. Anyway, all right, young William, anything else?
No, where are you next?
Where am I next? A wedding in New Jersey, and then I believe Fred Askin shows in Maryland. And I just got the... some of these clubs do a real good job. It was a nice letter about exactly how you're being transported, exactly where you're staying, where you're having dinner. And this is a month from now. And they still give you, boy, there's clubs you don't have any idea what you're doing when you get there. None. So it's really nice to get Maryland Kennel Club, and obviously Westminster has been great at keeping us abreast of what's going on. And Kenny showed. Oh, that's where I'm going next. Grays Lake.
Okay.
That's in a couple of weeks. In which is outside of Chicago, Grays Lake shows. I think there's four of them. You're judging there this year?
Not this year, next year.
Next year? Good. You'll love it. It's a great facility. Easy to work and spacious, and that club knows what they're doing. They've got cars running back.
I've exhibited there before. That's a great show. There's a set of shows.
They tear take real good care of judges, and they get good ones. Hiring judges is definitely an important part of getting your entry up. You can return favors, but it's not necessarily going to turn out to entries. Having a good, respected panel is important. So I still can't figure out why they got me. But other than that, or you. No, other than that, really, it's
because you know what I've decided, Wayne. I've decided to spell myself and by you. We take everything seriously except for ourselves.
You know, you're right. I think that should be our new motto.
I was thinking about the other day. I think we take everything seriously except us.
Right. We take everything very seriously. We get passionate about this stuff. Except us.
Yeah. Like I'll be doing some video thinking, I shouldn't say that. Looks kind of, oh, well, that's just me. And that's just me. So what are you going to, I'm serious what I'm talking about, but I can be a dork.
Yeah. You know, remember, you don't remember Popeye. Are you old enough for Popeye?
I fight to the finish because I eat me spinach. Yeah, of course.
You see, this is why we need video, because he just nailed Popeye. You got the whole mouth thing. It was perfect. Anyway.
Well, that's my, it's kind of the opposite George, right? What are you saying about me? Punk. Oh, that's
fine. Popeye left, Popeye right. Oh, goodness. Anyway, one of his taglines was, I am what I am, and I ain't what I ain't. And that's going to go on my gravestone. I don't want to
gladly pay you today.
Yes.
Remember Wimpy? For a hamburger. But I will pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. That's how.
Yes. Yes. Beautiful. Anyway, all that and more. All right, buddy. Take us out.
All right, guys. Well, you be safe out there, and we will see you down the road.
Party on, Bert.
I'm born. No way.
Way.
Better be paying attention, Doc.
Give me grace. Bury my sins.
Shattered glass. Ernie can use this in the blooper reel.
That's right.
We love you, Ernie.
Don't put that in, Ernie.
Quit taking yourself so damn seriously.
I'm on the run. To see the world and take the throne. Don't hold
thanks, Ernie.
Oh, we didn't mention hockey
either. Isn't that unbelievable, though? Put that in, Doc.
Man, I don't want to see it in a blooper anywhere.